Hello everyone, welcome to On the Regular, when market signals detach from operational reality across essential public and private sectors. Are we quietly building a fragile future where systemic corruption is simply the most efficient path forward? It was February 28, 2026. Someone logged onto a website called Polymarket. They clicked a button and, 12 hours later, a bomb dropped on Iran. The user named Magamimin walked away with $553,000. This wasn't luck. It was synchronization. When money starts betting on violence, reality bends to pay out the winners. We used to worry about rigged games in baseball. Now we are wondering if the war itself is just another trade ticket settling on a server somewhere. The infrastructure of truth is fragile when the market signal rewards fabrication over accuracy. In 2018, the Supreme Court changed everything with Murphy vs. Enka. For decades, leagues opposed wagering. NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue testified in 1992 that nothing despoiled games like gambling, even in 2012. NBA Commissioner David Stern threatened legal warfare against New Jersey betting laws. Yet following the ruling, the leagues pivoted from prohibition to monetization with startling speed. Last year alone, the NFL saw $30 billion gambled on football games. The league itself made $500 million in advertising and data deals. This transformation dwarfs traditional industry benchmarks. Americans used to bet less than $5 billion on sports. That figure was roughly equivalent to what citizens spend annually at coin-operated laundromats across the country. Last year, that number rose to $160 billion. It nearly matched what Americans spent on domestic airline tickets for travel. The online sports betting industry rose from the level of coin laundromats to rival the entire airline industry in a single decade. Frictionless wagering is now embedded directly into consumer smartphones everywhere, and this logic is extending beyond athletics. Broader societal prediction markets like Polymarket and Kalshi reached $50 billion in combined revenue in 2025. The culture of gambling has successfully migrated to other segments of American life. Users bet on who wins the Oscar or when regimes will fall. The infrastructure now includes geopolitical events and cultural milestones like Taylor Swift's wedding. Suspicious bets placed before military strikes on Iran in 2026 demonstrate how financial positions influence real-world conflict reporting. Prediction markets are platforms where you trade contracts on future events, who wins an election, whether inflation hits a target, even Taylor Swift's wedding date. Instead of traditional sportsbooks, these sites aggregate thousands of traders' beliefs into probability numbers through their buying and selling. What was once called gambling is now trading, but the psychology remains identical. You're betting money on uncertain outcomes with a financial wrapper. However, this ubiquity masks the fragility inherent in monetizing uncertainty across such vast sectors. Research from UCLA and USC found that bankruptcies increased by 10% in states that legalized online sports betting between 2018 and 2023. When betting markets metastasize into politics and culture at this velocity, they create a system where market signals are increasingly detached from operational reality. The sheer volume of capital flowing through these channels suggests the next phase is about incentivizing outcomes to satisfy financial positions held by anonymous traders. In November 2025, federal prosecutors charged Cleveland Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clays and Luis Ortiz with conspiring to rig pitches for gambling profits. The indictment details a scheme where corrupt bettors approached players over 3 years with deals to throw specific balls into the dirt. Frankly, the scheme was so simple, it is a miracle this does not happen all the time. These minor infractions generated $450,000 in winnings because nobody watching America's pastime could have guessed they were witnessing a six-figure fraud. The FBI announced 30 arrests involving gambling schemes in the NBA shortly after. This manipulation extends into the theater of modern warfare. That one bet by Magamiman was part of dozens of suspicious wagers, totaling millions placed in the hours before military engagements began. It is almost impossible to believe whoever that user was did not possess inside information from members of the administration. The term war profiteering typically refers to arms dealers who get rich from war. But we now live in a world where online bettors stand to profit directly from synchronized violence. The corruption deepens when financial incentives target the reporting of reality itself. Journalist Emmanuel Fabian reported that a warhead launched from Iran struck a site outside Jerusalem on March 10. Users had placed bets on the precise location of missile strikes. As Charlie Warsel reported, bettors encouraged him to rewrite his story to produce the outcome they'd wagered upon. Payouts for these specific location bets reached $14 million in betting volume. This creates a direct financial conflict with truth-telling. This convergence suggests a permanent open season for conspiracy theories where public trust evaporates completely. Two-thirds of Americans now believe that professional athletes change their performance to influence gambling outcomes. If more people start to believe things only happen as a direct result of shadowy interests in vast betting markets, it is difficult to distinguish between genuine events and manufactured outcomes. The infrastructure of truth becomes fragile when the market signal rewards fabrication over accuracy. I was on the train today, heading to Millbury. Sasha was playing her melodica, always learning, always curious. It made me think about how we notice upgrades only when things get dull or grimy. My school, my library, the trains, we assume the infrastructure beneath us is solid. But what happens when the system you ride on isn't built for stability? When the upgrade is just a better way to gamble on your commute, we trust the tracks because they look new, but underneath, the mechanics might be rigged. On March 24, 2026, OpenAI announced it was shutting down Sora. This marked a stark admission of failure in the sector. The official statement was brief, but leadership recognized the distraction long before the public announcement. She stated plainly that the organization could not miss the moment because they were distracted by side quests. They categorized Sora as a diversion from core objectives. The product remained live while burning approximately $15 million per day in compute costs against merely $2.1 million in lifetime revenue. The decision to launch despite these numbers reveals a gambling mentality deeply embedded in the software development cycle of the era. Bill Peebles publicly called the economics completely unsustainable on October 30, 2024, a full year before the consumer app even launched. The team knew the unit economics were structurally inverted from day one. Each 10-second video cost OpenAI roughly $1.30 to generate, while it was priced at only $1 to users. They proceeded anyway, sustaining a product with known broken unit economics through cross-subsidy until the subsidy became indefensible. This financial fragility extended beyond internal accounting into major commercial relationships that could not withstand the reality check of profitability requirements. In Q1 2026, the Cliffwater Corporate Lending Fund capped redemptions at 7% fulfillment despite receiving requests for 14% of outstanding shares. J.P. Morgan marked down software-related loans on its books and restricted new lending to private credit funds during the same period. This liquidity freeze was not an isolated incident, but part of a broader unraveling where investors could not exit positions without triggering fire sales across the sector. Think of it as loans made by non-bank lenders directly to companies, bypassing traditional banks entirely. After the 2008 crisis, these funds filled the lending gap, locking up capital for years in exchange for higher returns. But when investors demand withdrawals during stress, those illiquid loans can't be sold quickly without destroying value. While redemption numbers signal stress, regulatory filings often obscure the true nature of the underlying assets, causing that distress through deliberate aggressive categorization strategies. Bloomberg's investigation identified over 250 loans worth approximately $9 billion classified under generic categories like business services or specialty retail in BDC filings. Caixa appears in Apollo's portfolio filings as specialty retail. PriceX is labeled business services. This obfuscation prevents investors from seeing that true private credit software exposure is closer to 35% of the market rather than the reported 26%. The market eventually priced in this hidden risk, punishing funds with concentrated exposure to the very sectors undergoing structural disruption from artificial intelligence adoption. Blue Owl's market capitalization fell 65%, dropping from $40 billion to $14 billion since January 2025, as investors processed the irony of its portfolio composition. This massive valuation contraction occurred even as the firm committed $27 billion alongside JP Morgan to finance Meta's AI data center infrastructure under Project Hyperion. Payment-in-kind structures further complicate this invisible wall by allowing borrowers to add unpaid interest to their principal balance instead of paying cash, deferring defaults while compounding debt. Fitch's February 2026 data showed that 55% of all current default events in the U.S. private credit market are PIK conversions rather than cash failures, hiding organizational deterioration inside growing loan balances. The collapse reveals a system where banks and funds are simultaneously financing disruption while holding debt underwritten against a world that no longer exists. Figma introduced MCP server write access while losing ground to Claude Code as the primary starting point for product development. This friction illustrates Ben Thompson's aggregation theory applied to AI agents as the new interface. In this framework, they are becoming an aggregator where context gets exponentially more valuable the more complete it is and becomes almost useless when limited. The software development process is moving from a discrete model with clear steps to a more fluid model as the process gets increasingly absorbed by the AI itself. Most SaaS tools were designed to simplify a specific step or improve the handoff between them. What happens when those steps collapse into a process that needs no handoff? Aggregation theory comes from tech analyst Ben Thompson's 2014 work on how platforms like Google and Amazon consolidate markets by controlling distribution. Think of it as one platform becoming the main gateway where fragmented services converge, capturing value while individual producers become interchangeable suppliers. In this essay, AI agents are emerging as that new aggregator, absorbing discrete software development steps into a single interface. It is now faster to prototype 10 directions with Claude Code than to mock up one wireframe in Figma. Every SaaS company built for yesterday's process now faces the same binary: reinvent what you are or accept becoming replaceable suppliers. Linear is trying to disrupt themselves and become both the universal context store and the agent living on top of it. A few will face an existential question regarding whether their tool was designed for a discrete step in yesterday's software development process, and AI is making this step optional. Tools defining how we built software for the last decade do not get to coast on muscle memory forever. The agent is the new starting point, and if you are not that, you are a supplier. Suppliers are by definition replaceable within this fragile infrastructure, where optimization prioritizes liquidity over operational stability across sectors. Decoupling value from reality builds systems where insolvency is incentivized rather than prevented by design. That's on the regular for today. Find the essay and sources at Inertia Podcast, Pages, Dev. Until next time.